Harvest New Beginnings Church is located in Oswego, Illinois. We exist for God's glory alone, encouraging each other to have a deep love for God and a sincere love for people. This message is brought to you by Pastor Scott Poling.
Everyone was one and everyone is one. Some good ones and some bad ones. What is the answer to this simple little riddle? Everyone was one and everyone is one. Some good ones, some bad ones. Who and what are we talking about? We are talking, quite simply, about children. We are all children, young ones, old ones, and every single one of us will always be one. We are children. And some of us were good kids. We were obedient, bringing joy to our parents. And some of us were not so good. And it's only by God's grace today that you are still alive. That's it. Children come with all kinds of personalities and attitudes. They come with all kinds of dispositions. And man, I for one am grateful that we grow, that we change, that we mature, that we are not the same people we were when we were younger. And by God's grace, we come to faith, we get saved, we find forgiveness, we're wrapped in the arms of our loving Savior. Praise His name. Now, there are no perfect kids. Well, there's three grandkids down in Georgia. They come a little close. But there are no perfect kids, okay? We're all growing, we're learning, and we're in the middle of a new series called Our Imperfect Family. And maybe some of you, quite honestly, were reminded this past week just how imperfect your marriage is, just how imperfect your parents are, just how imperfect your children are, our families are. Maybe there were some arguments and frustrations, some anger, some raised voices, some cold shoulders that made it abundantly clear once again that we are not perfect. Well, we're looking in God's word for direction. We're looking in God's word for encouragement because we all need it in our families and as individuals. And we started this series off by laying the foundation of the home. What does it take to build it, to establish it? Really to fill it and to lead it well. And then in the next sermon, we looked and studied the important passages dealing with being a wise woman and a wise wife. And then followed that up with husbands and our responsibilities and who we are to be to our wives and our character and our responsibilities and our actions. Then last week, we studied how to parent effectively. What does good, godly parenting look like? If you've missed any of these messages, please go back. Please podcast them. Please share them. We desperately need to know what it means to raise our kids and to be the husbands and wives we need to be in this world in which we live. This week, we're going to see what God has to say to children. All children. Young children, junior high children, senior high children, grown children. All children. Children who have children of their own children. This message is for everyone, because every one of us was one and every one of us is one. And God has so many verses in His Bible for children. And we're going to look at a lot of them. And they're going to be summarized by five very important specific words. And this is the first one. Honor. Honor your parents. The word honor and the phrase honor your parents is so very important that it's in one of the top 10 commandments of all time. It's actually the fifth commandment. And it comes after have no other gods, make no idols, don't misuse my name, and keep the Sabbath day holy. And it comes before do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, and do not covet. That's how important this is. It is the fifth commandment found in Exodus chapter 20. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It is the first one of the Ten Commandments addressing human relationships, meaning this is pivotal to protecting and prohibiting the breakdown of the family and the breakdown of society. Honor your parents, your mom, your dad. And it's not just found in the Old Testament, it is also repeated in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Honor. Honor means to highly value your mom and dad. It means to hold them in the highest regard. It means to greatly esteem your parents. This is the only proper attitude for a child to have toward their parents, whether they're young parents, whether they're elderly parents. Now, the word honor comes from this word that means weighty, means heavy. Give your parents the weight of importance they deserve, much more so than your friends, much more so than a social media influencer. Your parents, your mom and your dad, they are not to be lightly treated. Give them the weight of respect they deserve. Well, what does honor to parents actually look like? Let's see what Scripture says. It means listen carefully. Proverbs 23. Listen to your father who gave you life. Don't despise your mother when she is old. You don't ignore them. You don't disobey what they have to say. You listen carefully to them. That's what it means to honor them. It means to practice financial integrity with them. Proverbs 28. The one who robs his father or mother and says, "That's no sin," is a companion to a person who destroys. Yes, there are people who would steal from their own mother, who would steal from their own dad, take advantage of them. Why would they do that? Well, they've convinced themselves it's owed to them. They've convinced themselves it's theirs already. That inheritance is coming. They've convinced themselves there's nothing wrong with it. In reality, there is everything wrong with it, and they are criminals of the worst kind. It is one thing to have your home broken into and robbed by a thief. It's another to be robbed by your own child, who you've entrusted, and they take advantage of you. It's despicable. After all a parent has done for you, after all your mom and dad have given you, after all they have spent on you, raising you. Even very religious people can steal from their parents. The Jewish leaders did this in the name of God and in the name of religion. And Jesus confronted them in their hypocrisy in Matthew 15. Why do you break God's commandment? Because of your tradition. For God said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must be put to death. But you say, whoever tells his father or mother whatever benefit you might have received from me as a gift committed to the temple, he does not have to honor his father. In this way, you have nullified the word of God because of your tradition. What is going on here? Well, instead of financially supporting their parents in old age, they were avoiding the responsibility and shielding their resources, withholding their money, claiming, oh, this is for God's service. Aren't I spiritual? I was going to help you out, mom and dad, but you know what? I've already dedicated it to God. I'm so spiritual. I mean, you wouldn't want me to disappoint God, would you? And then after they have the funerals for mom and dad, they can annul their vow and keep the money. Proverbs 19. The one who plunders his father and evicts his mother is a disgraceful and shameful son. To steal from your own dad and not care for your elderly mother is disgraceful. Honor listens. Honor practices this integrity. Honor provides when they are elderly. That's your responsibility and mine. 1 Timothy 5. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn to practice godliness toward their own family first and to repay their parents. Repay them for all they did for you. Repay for them for how they've cared for you all those years. Repay them for how they supported you. For this pleases God. But if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You are disgraceful, God says. If you are not willing to provide and take care of your elderly parents, you've denied the faith. What else does it mean? Honor means protect their dignity. We studied this verse last week. Psalm 127. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Happy is the man who's filled his quiver with them. They will never be put to shame when they speak with their enemies at the city gate. Children, you are little arrows. That's what we are. Little arrows, big arrows, young arrows, old arrows. Arrows protect the warrior, and the warrior is your mom and your dad, and you protect them in their old age, and you protect their dignity. Honor also blesses verbally. Look at Proverbs 30:11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. Generation means there's a time period when this is common. We live in that time period. And to curse here literally means to see your mom and dad as inconsequential and unimportant to you. That's what it means to curse. It means to treat them with contempt and disdain. You don't care about your mom. You don't care about your dad. John Phillips said the failure to honor one's parents is an insult to God who chose them. Godly children need to rise up and bless their parents, not disdain them. Proverbs 31, her children rise up and call her blessed. Stop arguing with your mom and bless her. Stop complaining to your parents and bless them. Stop talking back to your mom and bless her. Stop ignoring your mom and bless her. Rise up and bless her and thank her for the meal that she's made and thank her for the clothes that she's washed and thank her for all the errands she runs for you and thank you for her all the places she's taken you and thank your parents and thank your mom. Rise up, children, and bless them. That's what it means to honor your mom and honor your dad. Five words for all children. Make sure you're honoring your parents. Secondly, obey. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Obey means listen to them and do what they've asked you to do. Do what you're told. One of the greatest examples we have is Jesus. Luke chapter 2. When he was 12 years old, when Jesus was 12 years old, preteen, they went up according to the custom of the festival, down to verse 51. They went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. He was obedient to his parents. His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people, including his parents. Do you understand who Jesus is? Jesus is God in human form. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, worshiped by countless multitudes, millions beyond number, angelic warrior beings. That's who Jesus is. He is the creator of all seen and unseen, the universe and the planet in which you live. And yet, he fully submits to the parental authority of his blue-collar carpenter dad. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? There is none. Beautiful picture of obedience. And there's an important connection between obedience and honor. They go hand in hand. To obey and honor go hand in hand. For after the Apostle Paul commands children to obey, he then quotes Exodus 20:12 and Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. See, the action is obedience and the attitude is honor. They go together. You obey with a right attitude. You obey with honor. What does that mean? Well, let's think through it. If you're going to obey your parents with honor, it means you obey them immediately. It's a call for immediate obedience. And parents, you need to require this of your children. You need to get to the point where you ask them one time and they obey them. It's not this, I'm going to count one, two, three. That's not immediate obedience. They're not going to obey you right away. There should be consequences for that sin. We'll get to that next week. First-time obedience is also required with older children. Parents, you should not be threatening and repeating and threatening and repeating yourself over and over. What did I tell you to do? What did I tell you to do? I'm not going to say it again. You shouldn't have to say it again. You shouldn't have to raise your voice. You've asked them one time. They don't follow through. There's consequences for their sin and disobedience. We'll get to that next week. Right attitude in obedience. That means, children, you obey your parents without sulking, without talking back, without stomping your feet and slamming doors and complaining and whining and whining and complaining. As a matter of fact, that's a sin. Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Children of all ages, young and old, and those with children of their own, do all things without grumbling or arguing. Obey means listen and do, and obey means honor, and they go hand in hand, and there's only two options. There's either obedience or defiance. And sadly, the world in which we live usually goes toward defiance. 2 Timothy 3. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times or hard times are going to come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. That's the day and age in which we live. Obedience, parents, starts at home. If they will not listen to parental authority, they will learn to defy all authority. They will defy their teachers at school. Any teachers in school here? I'm sure you never see that. I'm sure you never see that. They will defy their teachers at school, or their teachers here at church, or their coaches of the team. They will defy their youth leaders. They will defy law enforcement, and that's going to get them in trouble. They will defy their employers, and they're going to lose their jobs because they know better than everybody. And most tragically, they're going to defy God. And we must understand the seriousness of disobedience in our children's lives and our lives. Disobedience is divination. Disobedience is false worship. Disobedience is self-worship. It was the prophet Samuel who came to King Saul and said, "What are you doing?" And King Saul's just making excuse after excuse for his disobedience. And Samuel said this, "Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. Enough of your excuses. To pay attention or obey is better than the fat of rams, sacrifice. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and defiance is like wickedness and idolatry." Disobedience is self-worship. Parents, you need to understand you got a little idol worshiper in your home. And they disobey because they worship themselves. And mom and dad, every time we disobey God, it's the sin of divination. It's wickedness. It's idolatry. Don't dare make any excuses for your disobedience. "Well, I come to church. Well, I serve. Well, I give." To obey is better than sacrifice. And to disobey God is declare yourself God. That's what you're doing. And it is self-worship. And some of you need to repent of that today. Because all you do is make excuses for your disobedience. And all you do is declare yourself God in the face of God. Stop with the excuses. He says here, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." What does that mean? That means obedience to parents reflects obedience to the Lord. To obey my parents is to obey God, who placed me under their authority and in their home. And be grateful. I just want to say this. You kids that have been raised in Christian homes, I was not raised in a Christian home. Many of you were not. For you kids that are raised in a Christian home, you do not understand the blessing that has been afforded you. You do not understand how many children, most of the children in this world, will not wake up today in Christian homes. They will not wake up with parents who love God. They will not wake up and be brought to church where they can learn the truth of God. They will not be shown the love of God like they should be shown or could be shown. Most children are raised in homes that reject God and mock God and reject the word of God, where each person just has a fend for themselves and has no idea what they're doing. It's the home I was raised in, and many of us are raised in. You children who are raised in Christian homes, and they're not perfect homes, and your parents aren't perfect, but you better be praising God for your parents and thanking God that you're in a Christian home. Obey is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Not popular. Not because of how you feel. You may not like feel it. Or you may even think it's unfair. No, it's right. It's about doing what is right. It's not about claiming our rights. It's about responsibility. We live in a culture that's so backwards. My rights, my rights, my rights. And God says it's your responsibility. I don't want to hear about your rights. What's your responsibility? What's your responsibility? Stop claiming your rights. parallel passage teaches additional truths in Colossians 3. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Obey in everything, not most everything, but everything, without excuses and without attitudes. That means, children, you need to submit to your parents. And you need to trust your parents because you trust God. That's what it means. Submit and trust. Now, there's reasonable questions. Obviously, there's reasonable questions. You may say, Pastor Scott, wait a minute. What if I disagree with my parents? Shut up and listen. No, that's not it. What if I disagree with my parents? Is there ever an opportunity to express a different opinion? Absolutely. And if done respectfully, you don't like the curfew your parents set. You think it's way too early and you'd like to stay out later with your friends. Or you want to wear something and mom's not letting you wear that. Well, we've been down that, trust me. You know, or you know what? Your parents want you to do this chore, but you're in the middle of a movie or you're in the middle of a game and something's going on. And is there ever a time to disagree with them? Yes. And parents, you need to be sensitive and reasonable. Reasonably accommodating at times so we don't provoke them to anger. We use something in our house called the appeal rule. Our children could appeal at any time to any rule if they thought it was not a good rule or if we had asked them to do something. They would come to us and they'd say, you know, I'd like to appeal that. I'd like to stay out later. I'd like to wear this or I'd like to do this or whatever it was. Can I appeal that? Sure, you can appeal it. Let's hear it out. We talk about it, we discuss it, we give them opportunity, and sometimes we'd say, yeah, that's a really good reason. They came up with a good understanding of it, and they can get back to it later. Okay, we can change that. Good reasoning, good thought processes. At other times, we'd say, thanks for coming and appealing it, but you know what? No, we're not going to change it. You're going to have to trust us on that. But that's a reasonable thing to do. Let your children appeal. Here's another question. Does obedience ever end? Yes. Obedience to your parents ends. It ends when you're out on your own. It ends when you're not under their roof. It does end. Yes, it ends if you're in an abusive situation as a child. Your parents are verbally and physically abusive, and there's advocates for that. And we don't want people in a dangerous situation. We understand that. Yes, it ends. Your obedience also ends when it's a direct violation of the Word of God. If your parents ever ask you to do anything that is a sin against God and His Word, you don't do it. If your parents ask you to lie, someone comes to the door, tell them I'm not here. No, you can't lie. And you tell your dad, I'm sorry, I can't lie. Pastor Scott, no, not Pastor Scott said, the Bible says. God says, much higher authority. Or your mom and dad say, tell them you're 14 instead of 16. We'll save 10 bucks on the ticket. You can't do that, child. I don't care what pressure your parents put on you. You don't lie. You tell your dad, sorry, dad, we're not going to be cheap. We're not going to lie. Your parents ask you to break the law. You're learning to drive, and you're driving, and your parents say, go through that yellow light, which is now red. Go through that red light. We're running late to church. I don't like this one, but anyway. But it's true. You should not go through that yellow light. You should not. You should not go through that red light. The apostles, Peter and the apostles put it this way in Acts 5. We must obey God rather than people. And if your parents ever ask you to do something that's against God's word, you can't do it. Do not sin against God. We obey to please God. We're told, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Do you get this? Kids, you can't be right with God if you're not right with your parents. Please understand that. Your vertical relationship with God is 100% tied to your horizontal relationship with your parents. In other words, if you're not good with dad and mom, you can't be good with God. You need to make sure you're good with dad and mom. Are you obeying them? Are you honoring them? Because if you're not obeying them, you're not good with God, no matter how religious you come across. Five words: honor, obey. Here's a third: promise. And these are not the promises we make. These are the promises God makes to us. And this is beautiful. Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. God doesn't make a threat to get obedience. He makes a promise to encourage obedience. Do you see this? The motivation is promise from God, not punishment from God. Man, we as parents need to be so much more like God with our children. We need to be so much more like God in our parenting. Less threats toward our children. Make more promises to your kids. Doesn't mean there's not consequences, but we need to be more balanced in this area. More promises that encourage right behavior. Less punishment for wrong behavior. Learn to make promises, not just render punishments. The promise of a long life is another promise in Exodus 20. Honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And long life, man, that must have sounded great for the Israelites. They've just gone through 40 years of watching all these disrespectful, disobedient people die. Some of them were consumed by fire, others bitten by poisonous snakes. Others, they were swallowed up by the ground opening underneath of them. They were executed by the sword. They died off one by one. Now, yes, there are some wicked people who live long lives. And there are some very godly people who die young in life. But overall, sin always takes its toll on the mind and on the body. Things we do to ourselves, the dangers we place ourselves in, can shorten our lives. And long life comes to those who heed warnings and avoid dangers and listen to the wisdom of their parents and the protection that they are offering. And our parents are much wiser than we realize. Sometimes it just takes years to realize this. And Mark Twain, the humorist, put it this way. When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Oh, how funny. It's often not us. It's often not our parents that need to wise up. It's us. Promise a long life, the promise of a prosperous life. Deuteronomy 5. Honor your father, your mother, as the Lord God has commanded you, so that you may live long and so that you may prosper in the land that the Lord God has given you. Live long and prosper. Any Trekkies here? What did Spock do? Live long and prosper. He stole that from Moses. I'm just letting you know it. Moses in the Bible had this verse, live long and prosper, and it's tied to honoring. It's tied to obedience to your parents. Those Vulcans, can't trust them anyway. What does prosperity, what does it mean? What does it look like? Well, we're told, we're given a short list of blessings that just goes into a long list in Deuteronomy. Here were some of them for the Israelites in Deuteronomy 28. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. Your offspring will be blessed, and your land's produce, and the offspring of your livestock, including your young and of your herds, and the newborn of your flocks, and your basket, your kneading bowl will be blessed, the supply of food. And you'll be blessed when you come in, and you'll be blessed when you go out. It's nothing but blessing. Learn obedience and honor. The promises of God are there. The promise of quality life, Ephesians 6. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, that you may have a long life in the land. He says you'll have quantity of life, long life, and quality of life. It's going to go well with you. Do you get this? Disobedience and dishonor robs us of the quality of life. Sin and shame and guilt, it just robs us of happiness and joy and stability and a good night of rest. Sin is never worth it. Sinning against your parents is never worth it. Sinning against your God is never worth it. You want to live a hard life? If you want to live a hard life, live a life of disobedience. You want a really hard life? Live a life of disobedience to your parents and disobedience to God and disobedience to all authority. If you want a hard life, you got it. And parents, if you want your children to live hard lives, difficult lives, don't require obedience from them. Let them do what they want to do. Oh, they're just kids. You want them to live a hard life? Don't require obedience. You want your children to live blessed lives, quality and quantity? You require obedience and honor. Proverbs 3. My son, don't forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commands, for they will bring you many days, a full life, and well-being. There's also the promise of a beautiful life in Proverbs 1. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Don't reject your mother's teaching, your father's instruction, your mother's teaching, for they will be garland of favor on your head and pendants around your neck. What is that? Think jewelry. Think jewelry that just enhances beauty. Kids that listen and obey are very attractive kids. Kids that don't listen or obey their parents are ugly kids. That kid mouthing off to their mother, that's an ugly kid. That child throwing a temper tantrum, slamming doors, stomping their feet, that is an ugly kid. That kid lying to their parents, that is an ugly kid. And this world is filled with a lot of ugly kids. Father's instruction and mother's teaching is like garland on the head. What is that? It represents victory. That's what it represents, and favor seen in your life. Pendants around your neck symbolizes guidance and protection. Understand, there's no shame. There's only beauty in obeying your parents and honoring your parents. There's the promise of a healthy life in Proverbs 4. My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Notice how he starts off here. Ears open. Ears open. Pay attention to my words. Listen closely. Notice eyes open. Eyes open. Don't lose sight of them. Keep your eyes on the teachings of your parents. And then he says, heart open. Keep them within your heart. In other words, don't keep this on the surface when it comes to obeying your parents, when it comes to listening to them and listening to God's word. Don't keep it superficial on the surface. This is not about behavior modification. We are not dogs to be trained. This is about letting God's teaching go into our heart and letting God's teaching go into the heart of our children. We're talking the character of a child. We're talking about heart change, and heart change is the only real change. Heart change is the only real change. Let God's word and let the teaching of your parents change you. And he says it's a whole body experience. You'll have life and health. Obedience gives us a whole body experience, physical health and mental health. And that's why some of you are not healthy today. Because you are not living in obedience. You're not healthy because you're not obeying God. Your mental health is not where it should be. Because you have declared yourself God and decided to do whatever you want to do, no matter what is preached today or no matter what the Bible says. If you want to get back to health, you need to humble yourself. And you need to say, God, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to follow your word. And I'm going to stop worshiping myself. And I'm going to start worshiping you. There's the promise of a protected life. And now he gets specific, especially in one area, sexual morality. We have two passages that teach the exact same truth, but in different ways. Proverbs 6. My son, keep your father's command and don't reject your mother's teaching. Always bind them to your heart. Tie them around your neck. Don't let go. When you walk here and there, they'll guide you. And when you lie down, they're going to watch over you. And when you wake up, they will talk to you. For a command is a lamp, and teaching is light, and corrective discipline is the way to life. They'll protect you from an evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a wayward woman. Keep the command of God. Keep the command of your dad. Keep the command of your mom. Bind them on your heart, similar to Deuteronomy 6. The Shema, bind them on as a sign on your hand. He's saying you got to have truth on the inside to face the challenges of life on the outside. You've got to have the truth on the inside to face the challenges of life on the outside. Tie them around your neck. Make them prominent in your life. And look at the benefits. They will guide you. They will watch over you. They will talk to you. Do you know what that conveys? All the time of your life. When you're just walking through life, they're going to guide you. the teachings of your parents, they'll come back, and of God. When you're resting in life, they'll watch over you. When you're making decisions in life, they will talk to you. You will have 24-hour protection over your life. There's no better security system. Listen to the teaching of your parents. Listen to the teachings of God's word. There'll be light, and there'll be life, and there'll be protection. And protection, verse 24 of Proverbs 6, from the evil woman. He's talking about sexual immorality. From the flattering tongue of the wayward woman. Some of the most serious sins with serious consequences in life are sexual sins. Be very, very careful. Sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage, sexual immorality with pornography or anything else. Be very, very careful. Scripture teaches sexual sin is sin against your own body. Praise God for forgiveness. Amen. Praise God for grace and God's mercy. But learn to avoid it altogether. There's too much to lose. Too much. Proverbs 7. My son, obey my words. Treasure my commands. Keep my commands and live. Guard my instructions as you would the pupil of your eye. Tie them to your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. And call understanding your relative. She'll guard you from a forbidden woman, a wayward woman with her flattering talk. He says, treasure, obey, keep, guard as the pupil of your eye. You would do just about anything to not lose your sight. Think about it. I mean, you're going to guard the pupil of your eye, that very tender, very important part that enables you to see. He's saying seeing spiritually is more important than seeing physically. What are you doing to guard obedience in your life? Are you guarding obedience in your life like you'd guard your own eyesight? That's how you've got to see this. I have got to guard obedience to my parents as I would my own eyesight. I have got to guard obedience to God and His word like I would my own eyesight. Some of you, you don't guard yourselves. And you're going to lose your sight, spiritually speaking, because you're not careful. Tie it on your fingers, write it on your heart, the priority of God's word, God's command, God's instructions, your parents' words, your parents' commands, your parents' instructions, keep them, and keep them close. How close? Verse 4, say to wisdom, look at this, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your relative. Wisdom is like your big sister who cares for you, who loves you, and who would do anything to protect you. That's wisdom. Stay close to big sister. Stay close to wisdom. You get to know her. You spend time with her. And she will protect you. And who will she protect you from? Another woman. The wayward woman. The wicked woman. The sinful woman. The sexual woman. You got to choose which woman you're going to hang out with. You going to hang out on your phone with all these wicked women? Or are you going to hang out with wisdom? You going to hang out with women that are going to take your heart the wrong direction, like Solomon? You're going to hang out with wisdom. You need to hang out with your big sister because she's going to protect you. Five words, honor, obey, promise, fear. And some of us should be very glad we didn't live in the Old Testament or under Old Testament law. Why? Because you'd be dead. Exodus 21:15, whoever strikes his father or his mother must be put to death. Don't you dare raise your hand to your mom or your dad. Don't you ever. Exodus 21:17, whoever curses his father or mother must be put to death. Boy, you better be careful how to treat your parents with honor and respect when you talk to them, not with disdain. Cursing brings a curse, Proverbs 20:20. Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will go out in darkness. Again, that verbal disdain. Your lamp goes out, that means your life. It's kind of like you're up late at night and all of a sudden the electricity goes out. You can't see a thing. That's what's going to happen to some kids in this life because of the way they treat their parents. The lights are going to go out one day because they never honored and they never obeyed their parents. Ridicule brings judgment, Proverbs 30:17. As for the eye that ridicules a father and despises obedience to a mother, look at this imagery. May ravens of the valley pluck it out and young vultures eat it. That's a picture. Let's see that picture. No, we don't have that picture. The eye that ridicules, that is an eye of defiance, a defiant child disdaining their mom or dad. The eye reveals what is in the mind and what the mind is thinking. Not a word may be spoken, but the eyes say it all. The eye despises obedience, refuses to obey. Proverbs 30, there's a generation that is pure in its own eyes, so proudful, yet not washed from its filth. There's a generation, how haughty, how arrogant its eyes, and pretentious its looks. It just looks down on everybody because these kids know everything. The consequences of these eyes, may ravens of the valley pluck them out and young vultures eat it. Ridiculing eyes will be dealt with. What does this mean? This means you'll come to a tragic end. And a dishonored end, because you didn't listen to the warnings of your parents. You end up doing something so foolish and so dumb that you end up dying somewhere and they can't find your body. You've ignored your parents. If only you would have obeyed, if only you would have honored. Their commands, their teachings are your protection, is what they are. The temptation will be to just cut strings. We've seen that in this church over the years. My prayer is that you will not be the next one. Children that have been raised in this church, raised under the teaching of God's word, raised in godly homes, and then they move out and they go off on their own and they do whatever they want to do and they reject everything. And they cut all the strings and they break free from all the rules. They're like a kite that is soaring in the sky, and the kite says, I'm just going to let go of these restrictions and fly and soar. And you don't realize when you cut the string, you crash. It's the tension of the rules. It's the tension of the commands that help you to soar. The moment you cut off those commands of God and commands of your parents who love you, you are going to crash. Don't crash. Stay with Sister Wisdom. Be careful. Five words, the last one is joy. Be joy to your parents and bring joy to your parents. And sadly, some parents have little or no joy and they're left only with bitterness. Proverbs 17, a man father is a fool to his own sorrow. The father of a fool has no joy. Verse 25, a foolish son is grief to his mother, bitterness to the one who bore him. Very few things hurt a parent more deeply than a foolish child, a wayward child. And them having to watch this child make mistake after mistake, and this child waste their life and ruin their life, and this child reject wise, godly counsel, and reject God's wisdom. Very few things hurt a parent more than that. Parents, pray for your prodigal fools. As Luke 15 teaches, they can sometimes come to their senses in the middle of that pig pen, and they say, what am I doing? Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and they come back. Praise God. Bring your parents joy, and children, watch the company you keep. Be discerning. Be self-controlled. Proverbs 28, a discerning son keeps the law, but a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. Proverbs 23, listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your mind on the right course. Don't associate with those who drink too much wine or with those who gorge themselves on meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will become poor and grogginess will clothe them in rags. Association assumes participation. Understand this. Association assumes participation, and friendship with sinfully self-indulgent people is dangerous. Don't associate with people who cannot control their appetites. They can't control their appetite for food. They can't control their appetite for alcohol. You keep your distance from these kind of people. Here's good advice on friendship from God's word. 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived, because there are a lot of people that are deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. The people you hang around with will bring you up or bring you down. Come to your senses, stop sinning. For some people are ignorant about God, and I say this to your shame. Proverbs 13, the one who walks with the wise will become what? Wise. You walk with wise people, you're going to grow in wisdom. Companion of fools will suffer harm. Who do you hang around with at school, young people? Who do you hang around with in the neighborhood? Choose your friends very carefully. Who should be your friends? Psalm 119. I'm a friend to all who fear you, that is God, to those who keep your precepts. You make friends with those who are God-fearing people. You make friends with those who honor and keep the word of God. Be wise, be discerning, be self-controlled, be wise and sexually pure. Proverbs 29:3. A man who loves wisdom brings joy to his father, but one who consorts with prostitutes destroys his wealth. Again, are you going to hang out with the woman of wisdom, or are you going to hang out with the wicked woman? Help your parents, don't hurt them. Proverbs 27:11. Be wise, my son, and bring my heart joy so that I can answer anyone who taunts me. Please understand this. Don't give ammunition to gossips and slanders because of the way that you live your life. Poor parents of wayward children, whether they're drug addicted or sexually deviant or gluttons or alcoholics, the list goes on and on. Can you imagine the conversations your parents have to put up with? They have to have with people because of your sin. Imagine the conversations they hear about behind their back. Conversations they have to have up front, face to face with people. Don't put your parents through that. Stop thinking only of yourself. Start thinking of your parents who love you, who raised you, who trained you. And give your parents reason to be joyful. Live a righteous life. Live a godly life. And don't sell out. Buy, don't sell. What does that mean? Proverbs 23. Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she's old. Buy and do not sell truth, wisdom, instruction, or understanding. The father of a righteous son will rejoice greatly. The father of a son or a daughter who's all about the truth and wisdom and instruction and understanding is going to be rejoicing. Let your father and mother have joy. Let her who gave birth to you rejoice. What does it mean to buy and don't sell? Go after truth. Invest in wisdom. Buy up instruction. Acquire understanding. Where are those things predominantly found? The Word of God. Young people, how much time are you spending in the Bible? How much time are you just reading it on your own? How much time are you saying, God, prayerfully, God, would you just teach me? I don't want to go astray in this life. Buy it up and don't sell it for any price. No price is too high to gain truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding, and there is no price or pleasure high enough to let it go. Don't let it go for any sinful pleasure. And lastly, self-observation. Where are you and where am I? Proverbs 10. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son heartache to his mother. Proverbs 15, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Where are you? Where am I? Are we the wise son and daughter bringing joy to our parents? Are we the foolish son or daughter bringing sorrow and heartache to our parents? Talk to the Lord about it. Make decisions. Apologize where you need to. Maybe to your parents and to God as well. Let's pray. Well, and before that, five words. What are they? Honor, obey, promise, fear, joy. Five words that'll change your life, and five words that'll change your home. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the wisdom of your word that cuts through the junk of this world and its deception. Lord, would you forgive us, all of us, for the times that we have failed as children, that we have failed as your children. And we thank you for the grace that you give. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Talk to the Lord right now. And would you just give thanks to your parents? Maybe they're gone, no longer here on this earth. You give thanks for them. You're living at home with your parents. You give thanks for them. They're not perfect. They'll never be perfect. But God has placed you under their care. Take a moment and give thanks to God. Take a moment and pray for your parents. Ask God to help them. Give them wisdom. Pray for your children. Children in the home, children out of the home, grandchildren. Intercede for them. Some of you have prodigals right now. They are far away from God. They have cut those strings. and they are crashing and they don't even know it. Cry out for their souls right now. Call out to God to save them, to help them, to place godly influencing people around them. Whatever sin there is in our own lives, turn from it now and turn to God and ask for His mercy and forgiveness. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You may be here today and you've not come to faith in Jesus yet. You've thought church was just this religious thing you do, and you're realizing that you need to ask the Lord to save you and forgive you. And you may say, Scott, that's me. I need God in my life. I need His forgiveness. What do I do? In the quietness of your heart right now, just call out to Him. Just call out sincerely with words like these, Lord, I need You. God, would You please forgive me? Would You please save me from all of my sin? Thank You for dying on the cross for me. Thank You for taking all of my sin. Lord, I place my faith in You to save me. Would You please save me? I can't save myself, only You can. God, please forgive me of all my sin. And I pray this in Jesus' name who died for me. Amen.
If you've been prompted by this message and are in need of a new beginning, or would like more information about Harvest New Beginnings, visit atharvest.church.